trucks going past me before. No driver. Not sure whether this one's got a driver or not, but the one that went past earlier, no driver. Again, had no driver in it. It's amazing what they can do these days.
Here in India, I think it's 1 billion people have digital ID. It's been taken up on a voluntary basis in huge numbers, not least because it means that you can access your own money, make payments so much more easily than is available with others. So I think now we need to go out and make that case of the huge benefits that this will bring. There needs to be a national debate about it. And I think that the more people see the benefits that come with this, the more, as it's happened in other countries, people say, that will make my life easier, and therefore I want to get on with it.
When you hear the government brag about job creation in Victoria, remember this. 9 out of 10 jobs created in Victoria are in the public sector or government-funded industries. That means taxpayer money is virtually funding all job creation in Victoria. Meanwhile, job creation in the private sector has virtually dried up. In fact, there was no job creation in 2024. It shed 3,900 jobs. Experts say years of anti-business rhetoric, policy changes, and ever-rising taxes have meant that the once mighty Victoria now has some of the weakest employment figures in the country. This data was provided exclusively to the Herald Sun by the Australian Industry Group after they undertook an analysis of Australian Bureau of Statistics data. So let me explain this a bit further. Jobs in the public sector aren't created by business growth or consumer demand. They're supported by government spending. Think about that. Your taxes are paying these wages. Plus, when the government is the state's biggest employer, it means talent is drawn away from our private sector. Our small businesses in Victoria, of which many are already struggling to keep their head above water. So when you hear the government brag about job creation in Victoria, remember this. Are you really looking at a healthy economy, or is this a warning sign that we can't ignore?
Is happening in this country. I'm so goddamn tired of this absolute bullshit housing situation that's completely fucking over every single hardworking and unable to find highly paid enough work Australian. These traitorous cunts in Canberra, Labor, Liberal, I don't give a flying fuck which colour tie they wear, they've absolutely screwed us. They've sold out our entire fucking future so their billionaire mates can get another investment property. Meanwhile, people working full-time jobs can't afford a fucking studio or apartment without spending 70% of their pay. And don't get me started on these fucking real estate agents of tyranny, blood-sucking leeches, the lot of them, making us jump through hoops like performing monkeys just for the privilege of renting some shitbox that hasn't been renovated since fucking Whitlam was PM, so they can buy a shitbox Mercedes and lip filler. They want our entire life story, bank statements, references from our fucking kindergarten teacher, and for what? To live in some mould-infested a dump that costs $800 a week? The government keeps importing a fucking city's worth of people every month while we can't even house the people who already live here. What the actual fuck is that? It's demographic replacement combined with economic genocide. They're turning us into permanent renters in our own country while foreign investors and property moguls get tax breaks to buy up everything. And these politicians have the fucking audacity to tell us just to get a better job or move to the regions. fuck you, my great-great-grandparents built this country and now I can't even afford a fucking shoebox in the suburbs they grew up in while working a job for Zog to make multi-billion dollar profits for BlackRock. This isn't a housing market, it's a fucking Ponzi scheme designed to transfer wealth from young Australians to wealthy boomers and foreign interests. We're watching our entire nation turn into feudal serfs, unless you're a diverse sheep in the public service, while these corrupt pieces of shit in Parliament keep serving their growth lobby corporate masters. They've made housing a speculative casino instead of a basic human right. It's fucking criminal what they've done to this country.
$1.94 million in after-tax income to pay the principal and interest on the loan, plus another $78,000 in after-tax income to pay the rates, and another $57,000 in after-tax income for the stamp duty, for a total of around about $2,080,000 in after-tax money to pay off and live in your $1 million home. To do that, before tax, you have to earn approximately $3.3 million and pay over $1.2 million in income tax alone, just so that you can have the after-tax income to pay the various property taxes and pay for the house principal and interest on the mortgage. Which means that anyone who has paid their home off over 30 years has already given the government the purchase price of the home or more in taxes. And yeah, it'll vary from person to person, obviously. Different houses are worth different amounts. Different people have different taxable incomes. I am absolutely estimating and fudging to a certain degree, but I'm also not including a bunch of other things like, for example, any home improvements you make to your own home, renovating a bathroom or a kitchen. Well, you have to do all of that in after-tax dollars as well.
In place, how's Australia doing? Number 37 out of 38 of the richest countries in the world. This isn't some political spin. This is OECD hard data that is printed by the Australian Financial Review. This is the global scoreboard for efficiency and prosperity. And Australia came second last. And let's talk about our decline. 30 years ago, we were in the top 10. 20 years ago, 15th place. 5 years ago, 25th place. And now, second last. And it starts to get a little fucking embarrassing when you go, who's ahead of us? Okay, Costa Rica, Slovakia, Lithuania, Estonia. I mean, we're all shitting on these countries saying their standard of living's terrible, but they're better off than us. And before you start saying, oh, the US is almost at the top. And this matters because it's the backbone of living standards. When it grows, wages rise, investment flows, and the cost of living is somewhat manageable. And when it falls, wages become flat, costs rise, and opportunities go out the window for everyone. Aussies are working harder than ever and they're not seeing it in their pays. Housing's more expensive. Taxes are so much greater than they were 10 years ago. Families are stretched even thinner. They can't get by. And that is the direct consequence of being second last.
I wanted to refer to your reporting that the Australia Skills Quality Authority has cancelled 23,000 dodgy qualifications since late 2024. Many of these were in relation to international students who are here on strict visa conditions. If they've been found to be participating in a ghost college or something similar to obtain a dodgy qualification to satisfy their visa, that's clearly deceptive and a breach of their visa conditions, so they should be deported. Are we deporting international students in that 23,000 dodgy qualifications cohort? Okay, move on. I'm going to refer to the Federal Defendant Statistics out of the Australian Bureau of Statistics that says there that only four people were found guilty of immigration offences in 2023-24. It seems extraordinarily low given there are 100,000 that we've just discussed. How many people did the Department of Home Affairs refer for potential prosecution in
2023-24? Senator, it would be across a range of different areas. So it might be, for example, with the NZYQ affected cohort, we make a number of referrals to law enforcement for breaches of visa conditions. There are other referrals that happen through other parts of the business. We don't have an aggregate number, but there are regular flow of referrals through to law enforcement for consideration where we identify a non-citizen that's in breach.
So you don't have a total number?
Not on me, Senator, and I think finding that would be quite difficult.
Okay. Do you have the resources to refer everyone who may be committing an immigration offence for prosecution?
Senator, in terms of referring matters, yes, that's a fairly straightforward process.
But you can't tell me how many have been referred?
Not in totality across all of the departments, Senator.
What I'm really asking is whether every single person the department becomes aware of who may have committed an immigration offence is referred for potential prosecution. Yes or no?
Senator, where we come across a situation where we think someone has committed a crime or breached a law, we will refer it to the appropriate authority.
But you don't know how many deserve to be referred?
I don't have those figures with me, Senator. I can take it on notice to try and find out.
Thank you. So you can't guarantee that someone who's in breach will be referred for potential prosecution?
Senator, you're asking me a hypothetical question, but in general, as I said, when we come across an instance where we think someone is in breach of a law, we will refer it to the appropriate jurisdiction.
So my understanding is that only 4 guilty verdicts out of 2.5 million temporary visa holders in the country would imply it's not possible.
Senator, I don't have visibility of the statistics you're referring to, but I'm aware of a range of migration outcomes.
You are traitors to our nation and people, and we all see you for what you are. Enough is enough. We must fight, fight, fight for our survival. Our people must and will come first. And our own traitor government is responsible and expect us to pay for our own demise. Our ancestors built this country, fought and died for this country. We must defend and protect our country and people from this evil globalist communist plan. And we must be clear. We say no. No. We say no. We say no. Where is your loyalty to Australia and its people? We are done putting up with a government that puts our people last, that sells us out, lies and betrays our country and people. The government's loyalists can cry and scream as loud as they want. Australians are waking up, and we won't be silenced. We are coming.
Enough is enough. October 19 March for Australia.